This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. The 12th MP is still a very, very hot topic. We are going to continue covering it from many aspects, and this morning we're looking at it from an economic perspective. So what we do know is that the government has allocated $400 billion for development expenditure, and that's a 61% increase from the 11th plan.
The government aims to fulfill all objectives and goals of the plan while maintaining a fiscal deficit target of 3 to 3.5% of GDP by 2025. As there is no such thing as a free lunch, Finance Minister Tengku Zafrul mentioned that the government will need to temporarily increase the statutory debt limit, which is currently at 60% of GDP, and also broaden Malaysia's tax base to fund this plan. With a pandemic-hit economy, can the 12th Malaysia plan spur economic growth while keeping in line with the fiscal policy?
To find out, we're going to speak to Firdaus Rosli, Chief Economist of the Malaysian Rating Corporation Berhad, also known as MARC. Good morning, Firdaus. Thanks for joining us again. Now, does the 12th MP boost or restore market confidence in Malaysia's economic outlook?
Hi, good morning, Shawning. Following the government's announcement on Monday, we saw some knee-jerk reaction in the capital market, where we saw that FBM KLCI has settled at 13.77 points, or about 1% higher than the day before, the day of announcement. Bond yields at all majorities also went up yesterday, suggesting there will be a positive economic outlook for Malaysia amid the reopening, high expectation of inflation in the future. But then again, yields have been trending upwards since early September anyway. So the yield curve is likely to respond to the gradual reopening rather than the RMK or the 12th MP announcement in itself. But to be clear, in the past, the market has always been reacting positively to government announcements. So the problem this time around, I think, is that the market's lukewarm reaction to the announcement itself, where there was no big punchline or big push rather than, as you said, a $400 billion development expenditure allocation, which is not entirely all new projects, judging from the PM speech, by the way. Yeah? So the 12th MP, in my view, appears to be less critical of the good, the bad, and the ugly side of the previous plan, unlike how we saw in the 12th and the 10th edition of the past documents. So a lot of macroeconomic targets are being thrown into the basket, but the overall growth narrative left us a bit wanting. So as far as taxation is concerned, where will the corporate taxes will be? Will GST make a return? And then as far as mega projects concerned, will there be new ones? And if there will be new ones, where are these? What these are? Minimum wage revision, perhaps. Whether there'll be another upward movement amid the strategies to increase the average household income to 10,000 ringgit by 2025, CPTPP ratification to signal Malaysia's readiness to attract high quality FDI. So there are a lot of lack of details, a lot of targets being bandied around, but as far as details concerned, that bit is missing.
Okay, so we know that there's a lack of granular information in terms of how we're going to achieve the growth. But do you think in the first place it's realistic? Let's say this GDP growth of 4.5% to 5.5% per annum and a GNI per capita of over 57,000 ringgit. How viable are these targets?
Well, we can plan for sure, but we should not discount the external environment. Because if we were to judge from our past experiences, most shocks in the past were mostly external and the supply side, which is none of them were within our control, really. And but COVID-19 is a mix of everything. So there was a bit of a supply, a bit of a demand, a bit of external, internal as well, because, most borders are still not open yet. But in any case, from the domestic perspective, we have to remember a couple of things. Like, number one, there is a negative correlation between the unemployment rate as well as the GDP growth. So since the unemployment rate is still elevated and will remain so until 2025, according to EPU's estimates, so achieving the minimum real annual GDP growth of 4.5% per annum is pretty much an overestimation. And the other part is that the positive correlation as well between inflation and GDP growth. So with an average inflation rate of 2.7% from 2021 to 2025, as what the document says, which is significantly higher than in the past 5 years of 1.3%. But again, the government, I think, might be, or rather may be, overestimating its own targets this time.
Firdaus, I'm a bit confused with the 400 billion allocation. You said early on there were no new projects. So perhaps the lack of ambition is we don't know where the allocation is going to, right? Since there are no new projects, likely a large chunk of it goes to just COVID pandemic recovery and even perhaps even to help bail out certain GLCs, no?
Not entirely clear in my view, because judging from PM's speech, he said that the 400 billion development expenditure allocation is going to cater for existing and new projects. But the part about it, we know what existing projects are, but we don't entirely know what the new projects will be, and what they are, where they are, by how much, and how is it's going to be spread throughout the 5 year period. There's a lot of assumptions here. The assumption is that everything is linear. If the government were to project 4.5%, a minimum of 4.5% of annual growth in the 5 year, then it will be so. But growth is not linear. There are many things that would have to be considered in the future. So the average real GDP growth projection of a minimum of 4.5% is actually pretty much also a bit on the high side, because we have to take into account this year as well, 2021. Mark is projecting 3.9% real GDP growth this year, which is in line with Bank Negara's, by the way. But that is clearly out of the way. It will not be 4.5%. So, and then we have to look into the next year, the following year, 2022. All other things being equal, we will grow at around 5.5%, more or less, due to some low base effect. So that's okay, more than 4.5%. But the question is that, how will growth look like from 2023 to 2025? So that is the question.
The other question I have for you, Firdaus, is the fiscal deficit targets. So 400 billion development expenditure, much higher than the 249 billion from the last 11 MP. How are we going to achieve some of the, rather ambitious fiscal deficit targets that we have in the document then?
Like I said, the document assumes everything is linear. So if we were to take that assumption, then it is possible. When I ran some numbers yesterday, the development expenditure is actually pretty much the same, throughout the year, throughout the 5 year period, where it is about 3.5 to 4% of GDP. The development expenditure to GDP is pretty much the same. So that 400 billion looks large, and it looks like, it looks large because, as the minister said, it is the largest allocation ever. But in reality, if you take it from the size of the economy, it's pretty much the same.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Firdaus Rosli, Chief Economist at the Malaysian Rating Corporation, Berhad, otherwise known as Mark. Telling us, okay, maybe we can achieve the GDP targets for, 2021, 2022, but the question marks arise from 2023 onwards. Yeah. And there's a lack of granular data in terms of how we're going to achieve that growth.
I mean, think about it. 2020, we declined by minus 5.6%. So this is also part of the catch-up, right, of what was the decline in 2020. So I do think it doesn't sound impossible to hit the 4.5, but it's what Firdaus said, it's probably not going to be linear.
No. We are a global... Every economy actually is global nowadays, right? So we're not alone. We need to basically depend on other countries. We are exporting nation. So if there's a slowdown globally, we are also impacted. So I think... And COVID-19 really reminds us how interconnected everything really is. But we'll be watching this space very carefully. We'll be continuing our discussions on the 12th MP for the rest of the week, in fact. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.